The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Of facing the pain of loss. Facing the pain of loss. 2 Samuel chapter 18. If you know about 2 Samuel, the situation, David lost the kingdom to his son Absalom, and Absalom was trying to kill David. And David, his men went out to fight the troops and the people that were with Absalom, and Absalom was killed. And Joab, David's general, was the one who killed him, even though the king had said, deal gently with my son Absalom for my sake. So when David is hearing of the reports, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 18:31, behold, the Cushite arrived, and the Cushite said, let my lord the king receive good news, for the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you. Then the king said to the Cushite, is it well with the young man Absalom? And the Cushite answered, let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son. What do we do when we're facing the pain of loss? Now, David Holder, who is our newest staff member, he's our discipleship pastor. He experienced the pain of loss when his wife went home to be with the Lord, what, 3 years ago, David?
3 years ago. Actually, four.
4 years ago. And you went through all the stages of grief. Chris has taught through the stages of grief as a counselor. When you read passages like David losing his son, does that take on a new meaning when you go through something like that?
Well, you feel the pain of the loss and the separation. Part of it is there's a shared history. You know, my wife and I have children together. We have family experiences, and there's things I can't share with her anymore. I'd love to say, look at the grandkids, look what they're doing, and she's not there. Or certain things. I've told people that losing a spouse, be sure you get phone numbers and passwords, because I didn't have any of that. Mm-hmm. But as a child, I would think, as we've been talking, the grief is different than it is a spouse. We have shared history, but with a child, that's part of you. And I don't know, I haven't experienced the loss of a child per se, but we did have three children that were preborn, miscarried. Mm-hmm. And my wife, my late wife, went through a lot of pain with that, a lot of inadequacy and a lot of jealousy. She would think, well, how come I can't have a baby? And these ladies seem to be able to have them almost at will, you know.
And so many people throwing them away.
Exactly.
Aborting their children.
And, you know, we did our best and we ended up adopting a child, but it was the pain of that loss that drove her to fill a void that she felt in her life. Now, as a husband, I probably didn't feel that. I know I didn't feel that like she did. And I didn't fully understand or appreciate it back then. Mm-hmm. I might have handled it differently now as a more mature, I hope, adult. But it's certainly, there are different kinds of grief. The loss of a child, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a parent is different. Mm-hmm. When my mother died, I got angry with her for leaving us. You know, my dad had already passed, and that was tough, but it wasn't as bad as losing mama. Mm-hmm. And when she died, I found myself, I said, you know, I deal with people as a pastor and as a counselor, but I found myself getting angry with her. You left us, you know, mm-hmm. or having guilt because we ended up having to take her off some, the respirator or whatever you call that.
Right.
And then thinking, was it the right decision?
Right.
And then for my late wife, the same decision. She was a COVID victim. She was in the hospital the day that they called me early one Monday morning and saying, you know, she coded and we put her back, we brought her back, but she's not going to be the same person. And I called my oldest son in from where he lived, and we talked about it, and we looked at the x-rays of the pneumonia in the lungs, and we said, you know what? She wouldn't want to live this way. She said that, right. So we're going to let her go. And I was there in the room at the last moment when they took her off the machine and she breathed her last breath. And I've been with a lot of people as a pastor who've lost loved ones, but that felt so different. You know, this was personal to me. This was part of my life, part of my flesh,
right.
Bone of my bone. And I felt it very, very painfully. And it was just, it was awful. And one of the things a pastor said to me, I've never forgotten, he wrote me a note and he said, you know, I want to thank you for reminding me of what it must be like to wake up at night and my wife not there beside me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you know, you come back home after that, and there's her purse on the floor. And I'm thinking, well, I better put that up. Oh, no, she won't need it now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what some of the things I experienced, mm-hmm. just the deep impact of it. I really thought that when we put her in the hospital that she was going to come back. Because she said to me, and she had a very strong gift of discernment. She could tell me about people, you know, you better watch that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, no, I'm fine. But sure enough, she'd be right. But as we were going into the ER, she looked at me and said, now, if I die. And mm-hmm. I said, Deborah, don't say that. You're going to mm-hmm. be all right.
Yeah.
And now I wish I'd let her talk. That's something I'll always wonder. What was she trying to tell me? Maybe in heaven I'll get to know that. But you wonder, what was her...
You think like she was more in the reality of what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And you were still fighting for her life and kind of in denial about where she was.
She was a nurse. She understood all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think probably waited maybe a little long to get help. But maybe, I don't know. But it was certainly that was the case, yes.
Well, Chris, I know you've done a lot of counseling with people that have lost loved ones, and you lost your dad. You're very close to your dad. You just did a funeral for a family member this week. Obviously, 92-year-old, your wife's grandmother, 92 years old, that's not the same loss for you personally, but it is for the family. And Rochelle was telling me the girls were upset about losing Yaya.
Yeah, children are funny with it because... they haven't experienced much loss, so a grandmother dying is a really big deal for, I mean, this was their great-grandmother,
mm-hmm.
but one of my nieces said, I'm in shock, I can't believe this happened. The lady was 92 years old,
right.
She'd been declining for quite a while, but they just don't have that experience that an older person has in losing loved ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely different kinds of loss, and I think a young person passing away tragically, like through a car accident or something like that, is a lot different mm-hmm. than someone dying of being older.
Yeah. Well, our engineer Randy was saying, and he experienced, and he and his wife Joy have experienced the terrible loss of a child. And he said the pain, even regardless of the age of the child, it's just out of order, because your child, you're not to outlive your child. In our minds, we think that. And
yeah, that expectation is just, it's not what you expect. And a husband and wife, like as you're growing old together, maybe every once in a while you talk about who might pass away first.
Mm-hmm.
You have those kinds of conversations, but you don't even think about that with your child.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's got to be the number one loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know when Debbie and I were speaking with Family Life Ministries, we shared a statistic. I think I'm trying to go off memory here, but it was about 70 to 75% of couples don't make it if they lose a young child. And then Randy Lucius was saying, well, it's even an older child, because your emotions are so raw. You would think you'd pull together, but you can turn on each other, because you're grieving and people grieve differently.
Yeah, and I've counseled people, individuals or couples, and the loss has happened years ago, decades ago, and they're still really in a bad place, you mm-hmm. know, maybe even stuck in the grief, but in a really hard place. I mean, that's just such an enormous loss, mm-hmm. as David showed.
Well, you know, I think about Joshua chapter 1, where the Lord says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay, I mean, that's Moses.
Right.
I mean, one of the greatest men who has ever lived.
Yeah.
Joshua has served him for 40 years. He's led them. How can it be that he's dead? And now, but he says, now therefore arise and take the land, you know, across the Jordan. I've shared before that in loss, and this isn't, I haven't personally experienced that. I've lost my dad, but losing your dad is painful, but it's not the same as losing a child or losing a spouse. But you grieve, and then you have to, life keeps going. You can't just stop. And you're talking about getting stuck in grief. There are people that get stuck in grief. You can't build a house in the valley of the shadow of death. You go through it, but you can't stay there.
Yeah, and they start questioning. They start being in. You go through those stages of loss. You know, there's the denial stage, kind of like what you were saying, David, and anger, being angry. Sometimes people turn on God. They get angry at God. Instead of turning to God, they get angry at God, which I think it's okay to have moments of, you know, questioning God and being angry at God. But the problem is when you stay there, when you get stuck in that place. And then, you know, bargaining, questioning, did this really happen and why did this happen? Survivor's grief, like, why am I still here and this person is gone? And then you can get stuck in that place of just deep sadness and depression. And then finally, you want to get to the stage of acceptance. You never get over the loss. That's foolish to say those words. You never get over it. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your life, a part of your story. But you can get to a better place with your grief.
We used to say in family life, you don't get over it, but you can get through it.
Yes.
And I think that's important. So, David, for you, because the Lord brought Connie into your life.
Yes.
And Connie, who lost her husband and brought you guys together. So, what is that like, a second marriage with when you lost your wife, she lost her husband, and now the Lord's brought you together?
Well, I think personally, I've learned some things as a husband through my first marriage. I think I've learned to be a better husband. We were very young when Deborah and I married. We were both 19 years old, and we had to grow up together. And now with we have stepchildren, you know, but children between us. We're grandparents, great-grandparents now. The whole dynamic has changed, and hopefully now I understand some things I didn't understand then. For instance, Deborah loved decorations. She decorated the house. I didn't appreciate that, like I found out later. I would go through the house, and I would see something she did. She said, you know, that's really, really nice, and I don't think I ever told her how much I appreciated. I might notice something, and how long have we had that? She said, well, we've had that up a couple of years, you know.
Yeah,
you
I'm all, like that, too.
Yeah, we've all been there. But I've learned to appreciate that, appreciate life, appreciate a spouse, because I know what it's like to be alone. You know, the hardest thing for me was that I would be at church. You know, I was still a pastor at the time, and I would come home after a meeting or visiting or whatever, going to the hospital, and the lights were off. You know, it was dark. There wasn't anybody there. That was tough. And I've heard other people say the same thing. One of the hardest things after losing a spouse was to come home to an empty, dark house. So I tried to set timers and have the lights on, at least have something going on, and try to recover a sense of normalcy. But you never get over that. Even today, with as good as life is for me, and God sent me a wonderful spouse, a godly woman, a pastor's daughter who understood ministry, knew what she was getting into when she married me, I still have those moments when I think about my first wife, and I miss her. And as I was saying earlier, I wish I could tell you about what happened with the grandkids today. You know, those kind of things. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And but I know that I'm the one who struggles. She's free. You know, there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. I'm the one that has to struggle on with life.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think, well, I'm kind of angry because you get to experience that, and I don't.
No, I've seen. I've done it. I'm thinking about one funeral that I did where it was a sibling, and he was actually holding his sister who was in the casket, like he couldn't let her go. And I mean, they're both in their 50s. And I thought, that just seems odd to me that he's that attached to his sister. But, you know, people have different levels of grief and loss. Well, we're talking about when facing the pain of loss. Listen, if you live long enough, you're going to face that, because that is that is life. As David said, I'm going the way of all flesh, and all flesh eventually dies in this life. But we have hope in the Lord Jesus. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder and Dr. David Holder, and we'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder and Dr. David Holder, both staff members at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking about the subject, when facing the pain of loss. No one likes to face that. No one likes to really think about that. Death is something we don't like to talk about or think about, but it is a reality of life. And if you live long enough, you're going to experience the pain of loss. And loss comes in different ways. And so, as we've been talking, David lost his wife 4 years ago, and the pain associated with that. Chris, 15 years ago, you experienced a different kind of loss that many in our listening audience have experienced and can relate to. The pain is there. It's there in a huge way. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I went through a really difficult divorce about 15 years ago. I was married. I had a son that was 3 years old and a daughter that was 8 years old. And through a phone call, long story, but through a phone call, my wife at the time called me and said, I don't want to be married anymore. I'm in another relationship. And our three-year-old, Nathan, he's not your son. He's this man's son that I've been with. Mm-hmm. And so all with one phone call, I was in the backyard of the parsonage at the time. I was pastoring a church that was right across the street. Mm-hmm. And so I got that phone call on a November night and was just shattered. I just was crushed. Our marriage was not good. Our marriage was struggling, but I thought that we could get through it. I thought that our marriage could be healed. I thought that we could, even after she told me she was having an affair, I thought that we could get counseling and we could work it out. Mm-hmm. But she didn't want to do that. And so I felt like I lost everything at that time. Mm-hmm. I felt like I lost my children. I lost my marriage. I lost my ministry, mm-hmm. my calling, my right. You know, purpose in life. So I felt like I lost all of it. You know, I just remember it felt like I got socked in the gut, like I was just trying to grab air.
Right.
And it was devastating. And then I just started to walk and just started walking and praying and just, God help me. It was a really right. devastating yeah. moment.
Yeah, that would, there's rejection mixed in with that, mm-hmm. that losing a spouse to death, you don't have that aspect of it, but it's permanent. And, you know, Chris, when you went through that loss, and you were separated from Brooklyn, your daughter, for how long?
For quite a few months. She had taken both kids away from me to different state, a few states away. Uh-huh. And so I didn't know, you know, how I would ever get Brooklyn back either.
Yeah.
And so I ended up having to fight to have rights in Brooklyn's life and have custody in Brooklyn's life.
Yeah.
And so, just a lot of different loss all in one conversation.
Yeah.
The church did keep me in ministry. I had a period of time, a couple months, where I wasn't mm-hmm. In the pulpit, but they were very gracious and they did keep me in ministry. I had to jump through some hoops. I had to, you know, get to a better place in my emotional health. Mm-hmm. But the church did end up keeping me in ministry, and I did fight for custody of my daughter in court, and that was a whole horrible situation.
Yeah.
You know, I had to have two different lawyers. It was just a nasty thing. Mm-hmm. But eventually I did get custody of my daughter. Mm-hmm. And she's 22 now. Mm-hmm. But Nathan, who was 3 at the time, I've seen him one other time since then. But, you know, I follow his life a little bit through mm-hmm. his sister, my daughter. But But
does he remember you from like being his dad?
I don't know. He was 3 years old. So it's 3 years old is kind of that spot where you remember things or not.
Right.
And so I don't know.
How did you get through that? What did you find helpful to walk through that experience?
Of course, God. You know, of course, God's presence. I think that going through that, just leaning on God, pouring your heart out to Him. I never got angry at God because I knew this was her decision and this was a sinful thing. It wasn't God's, it wasn't what God designed mm-hmm. or desired. But of course, leaning on God, but also having a good support system, great family. Great church family, great friends, lifelong friends, very great support system. I had a great support system.
How did your mom respond to that? Because I would think from a mom's perspective, especially with her son being hurt like that by another woman, mm-hmm. The claws would be out.
My mom was really good. My mom's a very kind person. She doesn't get angry very easily, so I never saw that. Mm-hmm. But she was very nurturing. She was very, just very nurturing, very helpful in that situation. And my mom, she knew the importance of me having Brooklyn, fighting for Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But also, she really, she knew the importance of my calling. Mm-hmm. Like, she knew how God had called me to ministry. So she was very... she helped me with the lawyer, and she helped me fight for mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
And so I was just surprised at how much she knew how important me being a pastor was.
Yeah. So, how about your dad?
My dad, after a few days, was like, you should be moving on by now. You should be
good. Oh, really?
He wasn't the most compassionate with it. He said, read Job.
Well, I think you had a blessing that you had a supportive church.
Yes.
Because some pastors at a church going through that would find himself out of a job.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a good pastor, you don't qualify.
Yeah.
But your church was very supportive.
I'd say 90% of the people were very supportive. There was a couple that were not supportive and were very difficult, and I went through some really hard times with that small percentage.
Yeah.
But the high percentage of people were very supportive, and the way that they walked with me, and then the way that they reinstated me over time. Mm-hmm. And I had only been in that church for 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah, so I look back, I'm like, wow, I was only there for a year, and they gave me that much support.
Would you have been understanding if they had said, hey, we can't do this?
I thought that was going to happen. I mean, I thought I'd lost everything.
Yeah.
So I was, I don't know if surprised, but I did think that I was going to lose my ministry. I thought I was going to lose the church.
Yeah. Well, that was in a Nazarene church. So in a Southern Baptist church, if that had happened, that would be difficult for the congregation. I mean, I think the congregation would love on the pastor, but you probably would be moving on, wouldn't
right,
you say?
Right.
The tricky part for me was that whoever filed, that was a big deal to them, whoever filed for the divorce would be the one that would... be at fault.
Right.
But in order to fight for Brooklyn, to have custody of Brooklyn, the lawyer was advising me to file, to beat,
right.
to beat her to the punch, to get to the court. And so I had to file. So that was something that I had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to do that. And that was a priority
sure.
to make sure that I fought for Brooklyn. And I did end up getting more custody of Brooklyn.
Right. Well, her life would be way different
oh, yeah.
had you not. Well, that's a different kind of loss. You know, we talk about facing loss. How about losing your job? You know, you were facing all those things, but a guy that loses his job, somebody in ministry, David, we talked just a week or so ago about pastors, and when a pastor runs into a buzzsaw at a church and they run him off, and he doesn't have, as we know, in the ministry, it's not like you just put out your resume and you get a job in 2 weeks. That takes a lot of time. How about dealing with that kind of loss?
Well, one of the challenges a pastor has when he is unemployed is people, well, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
If he's,
there's something wrong with it.
Something wrong with it, right. And so congregations that might be looking for a pastor tend to overlook that guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some bad reason why he's not pastoring. And dealing with that is certainly an issue. So you lose your identity. You lose your sense of calling. You know, this is who God called me to be. Mm-hmm. And you all know, being a pastor is more than just a job. It is a life. It's a calling. We lived, I used to say, good or bad, I live, eat, drink, and sleep the church. I mean, yeah. It's a part of my life. I can't ever get away from it. It's my identity. And when you lose your job, you lose that too. Mm-hmm. And the people that sometimes that you knew and loved, they turn on you. You know, they think you're damaged goods, mm-hmm. or for some reason you're untouchable. You know, you've failed. I know of a pastor whose daughter got pregnant out of wedlock, and he immediately said, "Well, I'm done," and he resigned. Well, good or bad, that's what he thought. He thought that he would have a stigma on his ministry, and that would follow him the rest of his life. So he just quit. Mm. And you know, the devil does discourage us, and he wants us to quit anyway. So
sure.
Using something like that is certainly one of his tools, I think.
Well, Chris, I know I grilled you pretty hard on things before you came on, because mm-hmm. we had a situation in the church with a staff member whose yeah. wife had an affair, and yeah. you know, he was just devastated, and it was like, hey, you're going to need to save your marriage if it's salvageable. Right. So he moved on, but then I talked to you. And I don't know how you felt, if you felt like I was a little too strong.
Almost to the point of hanging up the phone.
No, were you close to that?
Yeah. But I understand, you know, looking back, why? Because of that situation that you had just come out of. And also, mm-hmm. I'm coming into counseling, be a counselor.
Right.
But I have a very strong marriage now.
Sure.
And so I have kind of a contrast, because I've had the worst kind of marriage and I have the best kind of marriage now.
It's definitely a Romans 8:28. Mm-hmm. God worked that together for good.
And my wife, she'd never been married. That's the other part of loss, is I was in my late 30s. So when you're in your late 30s, you're pretty much done with having children, and you know, you don't know what, if you're going to get married again, all those things.
Right.
So that's another part of loss. Like, she basically, you kind of feel like, wow, my best years are gone, and you know, after this happened and this happened. But actually got married at 39 and ended up having two more kids.
Yeah.
And she was 33, but she'd never been married.
Yeah.
Never really had a boyfriend, anything like that. So.
Well, I remember when Tony Randall married remember Tony Randall, Felix on The Odd Couple?
Okay. Yeah.
Was he the clean one or the dirty one?
He was the clean one.
Okay.
The neat freak. But he married some young girl when he was in his 70s and had two boys. I think when he was 75,
yeah.
he had these two little kids. And I thought, oh, that's kind of weird, but hats off to you for, you know, it's like Abraham. So I've always wondered, let you guys chime in, but, you know, Abraham had Isaac, and he was as good as dead. But then Sarah dies, and he marries Keturah and has six kids. So it's like, well, he got a second wind after.
He just kept going. He waited and waited and then just kept going.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild. But, you know, so many in the Bible have experienced loss. David experienced a lot of loss in his life. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, God told him, you're going to lose your wife and you can't mourn or you can't weep. That's kind of a strange passage in Scripture. Ezekiel obeyed, but, you know, these people are human, so it's got to be painful.
That's one thing I learned through my experience, that, you know, men tend to grow up, boys, big boys don't cry, you don't express any emotion but anger, that's the only appropriate. But I felt quite free. There were times I would just break down and weep, and I don't remember crying ever as badly as I did at my wife's funeral. Mm-hmm. It was just overwhelming when I said goodbye. And I've learned that I can show that emotion a lot easier now. Death taught me it's okay to feel what you feel. Mm-hmm. And I used to say that to people, you know, well, do I cry? What do I do? I say, feel what you feel.
Yeah.
That helps you. It's a good release. It's therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. So men automatically go to anger. Anger's the first emotion. That's an easy emotion for men.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you had the capacity to actually have other emotion, that sadness feeling, and just pouring that out. Yeah, but a lot of men, they're not able to do that.
Well, you guys are familiar with E.V. Hill. Mm-hmm. E.V. Hill preached his wife's funeral. Mm-hmm. A powerful message.
One of the most powerful sermons I ever heard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On Job 1, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the mm-hmm. Lord. So we grieve, and then we we move on with life. Mm-hmm. Still, you're changed. You don't get over it, but you get through it. Chris, what do you say to a listener who's stuck in grief?
Well, I mean, like David just said, you have to feel what you feel. You have to let it out. You do have to let it out. You do have to go through that feeling of enormous sadness, and tears are a good thing, and crying and all that is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But your faith, having a strong faith, having a good theology of suffering, understanding that suffering is a part of life, mm-hmm. definitely a part of the Christian life. And you're pointing out a lot of Old Testament figures that experience the same thing that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus experienced grief. His friend right. Lazarus died. Mm-hmm. Shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus
right.
wept.
Right.
And so it's making you more like Christ. There is a sanctification process or part of grief. It is making you more like Christ. It is growing you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it helped me to go through a bit of grief share. I would recommend that to anybody. We have that here at the church.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity to be with people who are going through what you go through mm-hmm. and sharing common feelings. And you're in the room and you say something. Oh, yeah, I feel that too. That's just what I thought. I thought I was the only one. And it was therapeutic for me to go through grief share.
So, yeah.
A place where I could, a safe place to feel.
They hit every emotion. They hit all those stages. It's a 13-week mm-hmm. program. You can look it up online, Grief Share, at our church. We have it starting in August 19th. But that would be a great program that I would recommend to get mm-hmm. online and find one close to you that you could be a part of. Each week you hit a different topic of grief.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a picture that somebody did with three little girls wearing Camp Mystic shirts, mm-hmm. and they're running to Jesus. He's got one in his arms, and the two are smiling. And
wow.
Mm. You know, I think it's, when you think about those parents, it's really important to have that picture in your mind.
Yes.
My child is safe in the arms of Jesus. And I can trust him.
A heavenly perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's critical. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, Dr. David Holder about facing the pain of loss. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, how the Lord brought you through, we'd love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking with Dr. Chris Schroeder and Dr. David Holder. We're talking about facing the pain of loss. What do you do when you face a terrible loss, the loss of a loved one? Whether it's a child, a young child, or an older child, or a spouse, or a parent that you're very, very close to, you know, a child that loses his parent at a young age. David, you had mentioned about when you lost your mom, the feelings of anger and things like that. And so what do you do? The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. As Chris said, you got to press into the Lord when you're going through grief and pain, because the Lord's a safe place for us. So Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And he cares and he knows, and he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to give a testimony about loss. Well, I hate to use that word loss because we didn't lose our daughter. We know exactly where she is, but our only child was killed by a young man texting and driving. And when we got that call, when my husband was able to finally tell me who it is, who was on the phone and what it was about, we both hugged each other, and he said, "We are not going to get mad at God. God didn't kill our child. We're not going to get mad at the person involved because, you know, they didn't do this deliberately. And we are not going to let this ruin our marriage." Mm. And on our way to my son-in-law's house, I started going over in my mind, because my husband is a pastor and we've been in ministry for a long, long time, wondering, you know, was the counsel that we gave all those years, was it legitimate? You know, was it real? And all of a sudden, I looked at this situation in a way I had never viewed it before, because I know what he saved her from at 8, because my husband led her to the Lord, but I didn't know what he saved her from at 38. Mm-hmm. And I was able to praise him and thank him. And this peace that passes all understanding literally just, you know, flowed through me. And I have not lost that. That peace is not lost. It's still here. But, yeah, it is a decision that we make on how we respond, whether we react or respond. And we were able to sit in the courtroom with the young man who was involved in the accident and be able to look him in the face and tell him that I forgave him and that God forgave him, and hopefully someday he could forgive himself.
Yeah,
and then to go to the state capital and testify before the state senate committee and have them finally pass the law and make that illegal again, that peace was there. And like I said, you know, we don't tell people we lost our daughter because, you know, she definitely
know where she is. Yes.
And she knew, she knew at the point of the accident that you know he was you know oblivious, but she knew what was happening. She hit her brakes, and I thought, you know, right then she closed her eyes and was in the arms of Jesus.
Wow, how long ago was that, Linda?
It's 11 years this month.
Mm. What happened to the driver?
Well, we went to talk to the district attorney, and he was deciding, because it hadn't been made, you know, a law yet on how they were going to charge him. And I did. I looked at him and I said, "Chris, I said, please do not send him to prison. He's 19 years old, and that will not bring my daughter back. And that's not going to fix anything." And so as a family, we decided that he would have 4 years probation. But when his legal team tried to get the judge to dismiss it and then said they wanted, you know, it erased from his record, my son-in-law, who was a homicide detective at the time, said, "No, there has to be a consequence."
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a convicted felon. And that's what I told the state, the senators. I said, "I hope you never, you know, lose your only child, or, you know, your mother, or your love of your life, or I would be remiss in saying and end up a convicted felon."
Wow. Well, Linda, thank you for calling in with that. That is powerful. And the Lord does give a peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4, as we trust him. And I love the way your husband handled that. And, you know, we talk about this a lot. You know, when we counsel somebody, we can give them good counsel. That doesn't mean it's easy to do. It just means it's the right thing to do, and you guys obviously did right, and the Lord blessed you for that. So thank you for calling in, Linda. What a powerful story. Well, we have Doreen on the line from Illinois. Doreen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, mine is kind of a reverse story of Linda's. We miscarried twins, and I was not doing good. I became suicidal, and I just could not understand how I was 47, so I didn't understand why God allowed me to get pregnant only to miscarry in my fourth month. And the verse that I had heard years and years and years ago, without a vision, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was driving down the road. This is an encouragement to people that God will meet you where you are. Because one day I was just driving down the road, came to a red light, and in my mind's eye, I saw these two little chubby armed red hair, curly, red curly hair girls running through a field of wildflowers, and they turned to me laughing, and they turned to me, and both of them said at the same time, "Mama." And so that was the turning point for me, where I could know that they knew me and that they were happy where they were. And it took about 2 years till I got to that point. And so I just want to encourage everyone out there that not everyone... I love that Linda was able to do that. I was not able to do that. But God, like I said, he allowed me to have that vision of them. And that keeps me going even today, and being able to tell people that they are alive. They're alive, and they know me. And that gives me great hope.
That is so good. Praise the Lord for that, Doreen, and thank you for calling in, because I think that is important to have that vision of your children with the Lord, and knowing that they're fine. You know, that was Evie Hill when he said that. He said in that funeral sermon, he said, "Lord, are you telling me my baby's okay with you?" Mm-hmm. And that was comfort to his heart.
I've heard of people having experiences like that. In fact, without going into a great deal, I've had one with my wife, and I didn't need that, but it was good to have that kind of thing. How do you explain it? I don't know. A friend of mine said, just let it be a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Doreen said, like, God will meet us where we're at, and he gave that gift of closure. That vision gave her closure.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Doreen, for calling in. That was that's such a great testimony. Well, we have Robin on the line from Virginia. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. It's been a great show. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to get through this morning. I didn't want to take anyone else's opportunity. Oof, and I'm a little emotional just because of the last two callers. And I just wanted to say, though, that I thank you guys so much for your vulnerability and your honesty and your authenticity, because the very fact that you guys would have Pastor Shreve a show like this today, based on what's happened in Texas and so many hard and tragic realities going on around the world with war and people. But I just want to praise the Lord, because it's when in my own life, sometimes you don't realize how many losses or hurtful experiences you've had. You know, I liked her experience of her example of saying the word loss, because it's all in God's plan. And
right.
Linda's example of restorative justice is beautiful. But I mean, I've been myself, sometimes you don't realize how many losses, but I wouldn't give up the path and the journey of what God has done through that. I've gone through random violence, domestic violence. There was a cousin who was killed when she was a little girl on the farm in Montana in our family, and it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just an accident. So what I thank the Lord about, though, is I think the power of, as a corporate body, the body of Christ, sometimes we want to be so strong as individuals to be powerful and praising the Lord, and we want to hide our weaknesses or our hurts and our painful times. But just like the analogy that I've heard many years ago, when there's a glass, like a vessel that holds water, not glass, but clay, and it gets broken, sometimes there's a tradition of being able to glue it back together or using wax. And someone used the analogy one time, I don't mean to be coy or quaint, or corny, but sometimes if you put a little light or a candle in something like that, it's through the cracks and the crevices of where that clay, that pot of clay was broken where the light shines through. And as a testimony to the Lord, I just feel like it's amazing when we rely on the Comforter, when Jesus, just like what Job went through, when we rely on Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God to really be there with us and walk through these times of hurt and pain and tragedy, it's when he can rebuild these sinews in not only in us and create this relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but even as the body of Christ to share those times that I think things that can come from that, we don't even realize. It's like the word mystery and majesty, that I think God knows that sometimes we share in the sufferings of Christ and what he went through that was massive for us. And he,
That's so good, Robin. Yeah, as you were sharing, I was just thinking when Paul had the thorn in the flesh and he wanted it removed, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And you're exactly right. God does shine through those hurts. And you become very, you know, I think of both you guys, Chris and David, when you're vulnerable like that and you share from that place of vulnerability, that speaks to people's hearts because that's where a lot of people live.
It gives others permission to do that, I think. When we, not that I think much about it, but I'm just very open publicly and in, from the pulpit, and it's helped me. And I find that I can preach a great sermon, but when I share a story like that, I find more people come up at the end and say, you know, I've been there too.
Right.
There's something about common suffering.
Well, Chris, I think you're a much better counselor because you've gone through the fire than you would be if you just learned all these things through a book.
Yeah, it gives you empathy. You're able to empathize with people, not just sympathize, but you can empathize because you've actually experienced the same thing.
Yeah, very good. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Arkansas. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know there's not much time left, but I just want to share. I lost my husband 2.5 years ago. We were married for 48 and a half years. He was my Sunday school teacher for over 45 years. He loved the Lord. He was a disciple maker. We shared in ministry together as lay people. But I was able to go to Israel like 6 weeks after he died. And the guide recounted when we were standing by the Sea of Galilee about the men that fished all night and didn't catch anything. And you know the story, told them to throw their net on the other side. So I just started praying. I didn't know what my purpose was. And I just asked God to show me where to cast my net. And out of that, he has led me to a ministry to widows. It's entitled Moving Forward in the Palm of God's Hand. That was really just a little over a year ago. And in March of this year, we had an amazing luncheon for widows. In fact, J.J. Jasper was our speaker. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. And just for women to know, or men, God's not through with us. He has a purpose, and he'll guide us to it. There's been discouraging times and times of, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just trying to follow in obedience. And anyway, I know exactly where David is, and I look forward to seeing him again one day, and that's the great hope that we have.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, Jerry, thank you for calling in. We have other callers. I'm sorry we ran out of time. Terry in Texas, Charlotte in Texas, and Frank in Kentucky. But I appreciate you guys calling in. And you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. And if you have a question or comment and you want to get a hold of David or Chris, I can pass that along to them. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And Chris Schroeder and David Holder, thank you for being my guests today. When facing the pain of loss, and maybe you want to share this with another person, you can go to AFR.net, or you can go to YouTube, Real Truth for Today, and send that as a video also to a loved one that could really help them. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness, and one day it's all going to make sense to us when we're with the Lord in glory. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.